So great to have you here. Thanks again, Warren Steinle, the conservative MP for the riding of Regina-Louvain, joining us, saying this is not indicative of a problem in the Conservative Party. The fact that Nova Scotia MP Chris D'Entremont crossed the floor to the Liberals last week, this is not indicative of a fracture. This was a one-off. This was a person who wasn't happy. He didn't get something he thought he was entitled to. And as a result, he decided he's leaving. The second person who made the decision to step away, Matt Genereux, as you heard Warren say, he considers him a good friend, and he is stepping away for personal reasons, young family, and has been in politics for a while, and politics takes its toll. So two of those things happening, of course, has caused a lot of speculations, and there's no doubt that those that want to cause a fracture in the Conservatives are saying this is indicative of a problem. Others are saying, no, not a problem. Two very unique situations, each one easily explainable. And I will say this weekend, I had lots of conversations with people. I had one actually standing outside the Remembrance Day ceremony yesterday on the notion of whether or not someone deciding to step away and leave the party that they got elected to represent should signal an election, by election. So if you were elected to represent the Conservatives and you say, nope, I've decided, even though I won, I've decided I'm crossing the floor to the Liberals, should you just be allowed to do that? Now, I know lots of people will say this has been happening for years. 80 MPs, 80, have changed party affiliation between elections in the last 25 years. So there's a long list of MPs that have done this. Belinda Stronach ran for the leadership of the Conservative Party in 2004, crossed the floor to the Liberal Party in 2005. She said that then Conservative leader Stephen Harper wasn't sensitive to the needs of all parts of the country. You remember in 2006, David Emerson jumped to the Conservative bench just 2 weeks after he won a federal election as a Liberal. He accepted a role as a minister in Prime Minister Stephen Harper's first cabinet. His move actually led to an inquiry. You remember that. The Office of the Ethics Commissioner did a look into it. They found that new rules were broken by either Emerson or Harper, and they allowed it to stand. So, I mean, it has happened, and it has happened both ways. I just don't like it. I think it's the optics suck, and I think it should trigger an election. And I saw there was actually a recent poll that was done on this. I believe the number was around 40% of Canadians feel that way. 40% feel that if a person decides to leave their party after, you know, they've been elected to represent a party, they decide to leave, it should trigger election. And a big chunk of those that didn't feel it should trigger election feel that the person should have to sit as an independent, not be allowed to actually move to the other side of the aisle. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of different thoughts on this. Will this budget pass? It's going to. Like, it's going to pass. I as much as there's a part of me that would love to see what would happen if it didn't, and I'm not opposed to going back to the polls. I know a lot of people say, do you really want an election at Christmas time? Well, whatever. I'll go vote. But it's not going to fail. You know, they only need a couple of votes in their favor. You know, the NDP are likely going to do that. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open for you if you've got a thought or a call. Let's go to Bonnie in Wadena. Bonnie, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts today on open lines.
Well, my thought is that we can't afford this Liberal government. I'm sick of going to the store and looking for what's on sale before I choose what I'm going to pick out for dinner today. And Kevin Hassett, he's the White House National Economic Council director. Yep. He was in on the negotiations with the U.S. and Canada. And he said this was not brought out in the media. He was asked by one of the reporters, what has been so challenging relating with Canada in the trade negotiations? And he said, I guess the lack of flexibility and also the leftover behaviors from elected Trudeau folks. That can be very frustrating.
You know, the notion of the negotiations, it seems like that's kind of been swept to the side. Like for a while, we were talking nonstop about where are these negotiations at. It seems like over the last little while, that has taken a back seat. Obviously, the ongoing negotiations are happening, but we sure haven't heard a lot about movement there. And many people are pointing to that, indicative of Carney not following through on his promise. A big part of the reason that he got elected. A lot of people on the text line this morning are pointing that out. Jason from Weyburn, don't go away. I'm going to grab your call when we come back. Phone lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. Lots of great texts coming in as well. What about foreign land ownership? Foreign-owned farmland, back in the news. The fight continues between, well, finger-pointing, let's call it, between the NDP and the SAS party in the province. We'll talk a little bit about that and maybe get your thoughts there as well when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This Wednesday morning. So I said, look, I'm not opposed to having an election. If the budget fails next week on the 17th when they have the third and final vote, it fails. And we end up going to the polls. We end up going to the polls. Does not bother me, does not frustrate me that we could be having an election over Christmas. I know some people have said, no, don't want it. Even from a strategy standpoint, some suggesting it's not the right time. I have to say, the text line, which I sometimes consider to be a pulse of the people, most people are saying, no problem. You want to go to an election? No problem. Let's go to the phone line. Jason from Weyburn. Your thoughts on, are you okay going to an election?
I'd be okay going to an election, but I don't think it solves anything. I mean, the Tories are polling around the low 40s. The Liberals are polling around the mid 40s. More than likely, you get what you just got.
Right.
Unless something massively changes. The Tory vote is not very efficient, and the Liberal vote is more efficient. So if you look at the Liberals and Tories, the Tories want to win, they need, and the NDP stays stagnant, the Tories need 45 and the Liberals would need like 40 or 39 for us to see a reverse in fortunes here. So, I mean, you could have an election and if things can change. I mean, you could have a green eruption in the Liberal ranks, which I'm hearing is what is happening. The Liberals themselves have a whole bunch of MPs who really want to keep that EV mandate. So it looks like we're going to keep the EV mandate till 2035 now. So for 2035, which is really terrible.
Each one of these things, Jason, as you know, and you and I have talked about this before, each one of these things has an impact on voters, whether it's people that voted for the Liberals that are frustrated by it, or people that are, you know, didn't vote for the Conservatives last time, but maybe they've changed their mind based on how the negotiations are going with Trump. I mean, time gives us a chance to essentially evaluate what's going on. And I guess the question is, Jason, has there been enough time to get an evaluation that's going to yield a different result?
The Tory number in the 40s, I hate to tell you this, it's probably the ceiling. I mean, the Tories getting in the 41-42% usually gets them a majority government. I mean, that's more than Stephen Harper got. He was 39.
Right.
That's more than Justin Trudeau got when he won his majority in 2015. It was also 39. The Tories at 42, that's a majority in most cases. The only reason the Liberals are holding on is because the NDP vote totally collapsed. Because that's usually what happens when you form a partnership. People look at the NDP and go, why would I vote for the NDP when all they do is vote with the Liberals all the time? Eventually, people just ignore you. So that is what's happened. And unless the Tories can make serious inroads in other places, your best hope is that the NDP gets its act together.
Always appreciate when Jason calls in from Weyburn, 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open and text lines are open as well. Lots of people on the text line saying, an election, bring it on. Kevin in Regina. Yes, our friend Conspiracy Kevin with a text this morning. It's all theater. And he's got the emoji, like the slap the forehead emoji. They're distracting from the real conversation. They're selling the idea that we have a minority government. I said after the election, three seats short of a majority was essentially a majority. We're down to two now. Not that that really made any difference. The powers to be would have made sure the budget is passed. Ross in Viscount, good riddance to the floor crosser. He's a dontramont to the Conservative Party. I see what he did there. Would be too cool if he was a Conservative plant in the Liberals, but I kind of doubt that. I do too, Ross. If I voted, this is Pete in Craven, if I voted for and elected a Conservative and then watched them cross the floor and become a Liberal, a word of warning, don't answer your phone the next day because I will present you with a soul-searing diatribe. This kind of thing spits in the face of everyone who elected you, Pete in Craven. Thanks so much. Yeah, lots of people like Josh in Saskatoon saying this should automatically trigger a by-election for that riding. I agree. I totally agree. We talked about that last week, and I told myself I'd calm down over the weekend, although I did talk with a few people here and there, including, I mentioned, outside of the Remembrance Day service, I had a fella come over to me and say, hey, are you Evan? I said, yeah. We ended up talking about this floor crossing situation, and he was as worked up as me. Between the two of us, we both got ourselves going on this should be a by-election, automatically trigger a by-election. You know, I mentioned this earlier. We did just some digging to find out how many people have actually changed party affiliations between elections. In the last 25 years, there have been 80 MPs. What isn't easily available, there's a couple of things if you go into AI, but I'm always a little bit sketched out whether or not AI gives us actual, like, factual information. But the question that we got on the text line was, of those, how many people were reelected? So you have 80 MPs who have crossed the floor between elections. So they're elected for one party, and then before the next election, they cross the floor to the other party. How many of those have been reelected? Our very quick search into this shows that about, of the ones that ran again, because there were a number that didn't run in the following election, but of the ones that did, about two-thirds were reelected. Now, that is not a scientific and data-solid piece of information I just gave you. This was just a very quick search that we did, but that would be really interesting to know. Thank you for the text. I can't remember. It might have been Deb. Someone from Saskatoon texted that in. Of course, I've lost the text here, but I do appreciate, because I do think that is worth knowing that stat as well. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open. Love to hear your thoughts on, there's a variety of things we could talk about. We're talking about what's going on with the budget. Will it pass? We're talking about the Conservative member that crossed the floor to now become a Liberal member. But if you've got something on your mind, I'm happy to chat about it. Let's go to Brad in Saskatoon. Brad, thanks for calling in on this Wednesday. What's on your mind?
Yeah, under the NDP era with Jack Layton, I'm just wondering what the supporters are thinking about how Jagmeet Singh took a respected party and put it down in the toilet.
It's going to take a while to rebuild. I'm not convinced it'll happen in one election, that's for sure, Brad.
It won't. They're broke. And there's a reason why they're not siding with the Conservatives and tanking.
Trying to keep their nose above water, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like, because they can't afford to go back to the voting polls. They're broke.
Yeah.
And when are people going to realize that the Liberal Party is not for Canada?
Well, there's a lot of people on the text line, Brad, that are saying exactly that. Lots of people are saying, look, this budget shows it again. One texter pointing out that Mark Carney ran on the premise that he was going to make Canada a superpower. And part of that was leveraging both clean energy and conventional energy resources like oil and gas. This was part of the election platform that occurred. However, it becomes more and more clear to me that oil and gas are not part of the strategy. If oil and gas, which is already set up, already infrastructure in place, already businesses, if oil and gas are going to be part of the overall strategy, then steps would be made to remove regulatory roadblocks, if you will, that are preventing investment from happening in Canada. And there was an opportunity to do it in this budget. We saw, yes, maybe the oil and gas thing, and I know the greenwashing piece of legislation, but those were pretty minor things. But the insertion of an industrial carbon price, it essentially says right in the budget that it will step in and take the place, and the hope is that it will accomplish the same thing that the oil and gas cap was intended to do. So if one's replacing the other, we're really not that much better off. And so at the end of the day, we are likely not going to see a spike in investment in conventional energy sources in Canada, which are not going away anytime soon. 1-877-332-8255. More people waiting on the lines. Let's take our last break and we'll come back and finish up our open line segment here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. To get away to the polls is the question that a lot of people seem to be saying, yeah, no problem. Elaine is on the line. Elaine, are you okay going back to the polls as early as Christmas?
As early as yesterday or last, when the last election was. I first want to say, Evan, thanks for taking my call. I attended a beautiful, big Remembrance Day ceremony at Avonlea, and I'm so grateful that I live close enough that I can go there. Good. There were easily 200 people there yesterday, and over and over again, when I listen to the stories of people who went off to war, I've never heard anybody say, well, we have it on our calendar now, we're going off to war now. You know, we're gonna leave our family, husbands, wives. Not many wives went. Yeah. Husbands going, sons going. I lived with a lady for 5 years who had 5 sons overseas at the same time. And let me tell you, you know, I still feel for her so much. Mm. And think of all of that. So Canadians, please don't even think about how convenient it is. What kind of lazy sheeple are we that we aren't willing to get up and do that little bit of effort?
Get back to the
election.
Right. Get back to the polls is what you're saying. I appreciate you calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Jim in Saskatoon, thanks for calling in to Open Lines. What's on your mind, Jim?
So, Evan, I just wanted to bring up something. I've been a follower of politics my entire life, and I want to say this, is that this whole thing with Chris DeMont,
yeah,
crossing the floor and everything that's gone on with the budget, this is 100% in the front page of the Liberal operating procedure. Divide and distract. And distract is always there. We are bringing out a terrible budget for Canadians. We're going to hose them dearly on deficit. But we need to find a way for people to not look at our problem that we have created. So somehow we got Chris DeMont to cross the floor, and now that's all that the Liberal paid media talks about 80% of the time for the last 2 weeks. We're not talking the budget. We're talking about the floor crossing. And it's such a minor little thing. You know, it just bothers, and it happens all the time with the Liberals. When there's something bad going to happen, there'll be something that they bring out to make the media talk about what they want to talk about, not what actually's happening. It's just so annoying.
I appreciate your thoughts. You're not the only one that has suggested this is all part of an orchestrated distraction move. Let's get the smoke screens up. Doesn't change the fact, $78.3 billion deficit this year, over $300 billion in the next 5 years. Deficits projected, added to that overall debt. I mean, those numbers are not going away. Yet, I still think that this budget is going to pass. I really do think the budget is going to pass. Which, again, from a strategy standpoint, many people would suggest timing. Literally, from a political strategy, timing is not great, even for the Conservatives, if an election were held. I mean, this is what we chatted about with Jason a little bit there as well. A story I wanted to get to, and I know we're running short on time now, but there is a lot of back and forth, finger pointing happening between the NDP and the SAS party over foreign-owned farmland claims. right? The NDP, you might have seen this week, NDP MLA Trent Witherspoon said the government has been more than a day late in enforcing the purchase and illegal purchase of farmland by foreign entities. The SAS party government said, if you've got examples of this, please provide them to us and we will bring them forward for investigation. Both the Minister of Agriculture, Daryl Harrison, and Trent Witherspoon gave each other deadlines to get some information brought forward. Neither one of them met the deadline, by the way. So it's interesting. I've got Sean Haney coming up, and one of the things I plan on talking to him about is, you know, he sees this on a national standpoint. Is there a problem with foreign land ownership in not just our province, but in Canada? Remember we had Tim Hammond on from Hammond Realty, focuses and sells lots of farmland. We just had him on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about that. And I asked Tim in that short chat we had, is this a problem or is this where perception of foreign-owned farmland is not exactly matching reality?
Yeah, I'd say it's the latter. And this is my experience, my opinion. But, you know, organized real estate, you know, like we'll trade like $500 million in farmland a year. Zero of that is going to foreign ownership. Like we have to verify because of FinTrack purposes as well. So I think it's, you know, I understand why everybody's concerned about it and we have to be protective of it. But I think it's become the public narrative as to one of the reasons why farmland values are so high. And I think it's really misleading anyways. And also, what's the definition of a foreign investor, right? You know, sometimes there's a Canadian company that's 80% Canadian owned and there's a 20% foreign, you know, component to that. Well, it's deemed as foreign, right? And I mean, it doesn't qualify. It has to be 100% Canadian, but you know, that doesn't make kind of headlines, I guess.
That was part of the conversation with Tim Hammond on foreign land ownership. Now, you will remember about a year ago this time, December 2024, provincial auditor Tara Clement said the province needs to do a better job of tracking and enforcing rules for non-Canadians purchasing farmland in Saskatchewan. Didn't come out and say there was problems, just basically saying we need to do a better job of tracking it. We need to do a better job of providing solid data on the work that is done, the back-end work, to make sure and prevent this sort of thing from happening. We'll chat about this a little bit with our guest, Sean Haney, who's coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.